Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins on the Fight Game Media Network. For those watching live, just apologize for the delay. We had some technical difficulties that hopefully are taken care of. And for those listening on audio, well, hopefully everything's good. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. It really helps us a lot. Give us a 5-star review if you're listening on the podcast. So Jeff, lots happened since we last spoke in the world of wrestling.
Well, none of it AEW related for the most
part.
Not
really. There were some shows. I watched a lot of AEW/ROH over the last week, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That.
And a lot of, I've seen a lot of clips of it, and a lot of it's, interesting. And actually, a lot of the stuff in ROH is looking more interesting than some of the stuff on AEW, which is weird for my predilections. I gotta start here with the elephant in the room, and not Vince related or anything like that. This show had John Moxley.
Yeah.
Bankable current star. It had Chris Jericho and Jeff Hardy. And if you can count it, Sting. And Rob Van Dam, but Rob Van Dam wasn't announced. So those are nostalgia acts.
Mm-hmm.
And it had Hangman and Swerve and Joe. Well, for Swerve and Hangman, you're quote-unquote future superstars. Yeah. Should be current superstars, but we're running a bit behind here.
Yeah, Joe, the 25-year veteran.
Well, Joe's not. Joe, I would put with Moxley. Joe's in the Moxley category. Current bankable stars that
people know. Yeah, fair enough.
Couldn't get 2,000 people in the building.
No. And you mean to go further. And granted, there was an excuse, but...
Saturday night,
they had John Moxley wrestling, they had Bryan Danielson wrestling, they had FTR wrestling, they had House of Black wrestling, and they got 300,000 people watching on TV and an 0.06, which is the lowest rating that an AEW television show has ever done.
Now, I've heard that the tickets for this Dynamite were a little bit pricey.
Yep.
We already don't get more. And look, I'm not saying 100,000 is a bad number by any means on pay-per-view.
Yeah. No, but it's
with
great.
With this generation of fans, have we gotten to the cost-benefit analysis that just staying at home and watching on TV is more than getting there live?
I mean, Alvarez brought up a great point. When you talk about these tickets being pricey, I think what I had heard was $80 get-in.
I went on Reddit and they said get in. I mean, maybe get in was 80, but I heard like your average was like 194.
Okay, so let's say it's 194. You want to go with your girlfriend or your buddy?
Yeah, that's $400 for 2 hours.
Park.
Yeah.
Before you buy any food, before you buy any merch, you're in for $400. If you want to bring your kids,
yes,
you're talking $1,000.
And it's for like it's for your 2-hour Dynamite and your 12 hours of Ring of Honor and Rampage and then Ring of Honor tapings.
So, and I will say if you decide, okay, you know what, I got my Christmas bonus, I got a lot of money, I can afford it one time. So I'm gonna buy my tickets a month out. Who's wrestling on the show?
Exactly. No, that's the problem we've been talking about for years now. Is you need to build up these shows.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's time to worry, but see, I can see Dave come up. Well, draw doesn't matter because TV rights, blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to be like, yeah, it's still not 2,000 people in the building and you have your biggest stars on the card.
Well, let's
That's
talk about
a problem.
TV. Let's talk
other
about
than
TV
Omega.
Rights.
Other than Omega. I mean, if you consider Omega the big star here. But I mean, you look at this and you go, Ospreay and Okada going to move that needle?
Sasha might a little.
Sasha might.
Yeah.
But
if she signs.
If she
although signed. I think she's signed. I think she's signed. Okay, you talk about TV rights. What's the number one wrestling TV show on television?
Monday Night Raw.
What's
or no, SmackDown. SmackDown. Actually, right. SmackDown on Fox.
So SmackDown only got they lost their TV channel. And they have to move to cable, and they're getting, I think, 1.3 times what their last deal was.
But that's not based on merit. That's based on Fox not wanting that audience for some reason.
Correct. Correct. What about Raw? Raw just signed a deal with Netflix.
They're moving
off of cable, and they're only getting a 20% increase off of their last
deal.
I
don't think this is a good idea for them, but that's me.
What do you think AEW is going to get? With their 0.06 rating on Saturday night or their 0.28 on Wednesdays. If they're lucky, they might get a 20% increase.
I think they may be going to True TV if they stay with WBD. Well, that's what I think.
But you know, people are talking about, you know, 150 million, 200 million, 250, you know, a year ago. You might be talking about 80 if you're lucky.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, and...
And this is not a slam on our friend Ryan Frederick, who I love.
No. Ryan got that information. He got it
from a legitimate place. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I know where he got it from. And it's one of those things where, we were talking big money, and now,
They may have been playing poker and, you know, trying to haggle over, what are we going to get for our streaming? And let's just try to get a couple more million out of WBD, and then all of a sudden the market.
They played hardball, and I think they're going to lose.
Maybe. I mean, we'll find out soon.
Yeah. And
you talk about Okada and Monet. Like, Monet, I think, is in. I'm not sure about Okada.
I'm not sure about it either, to be honest with you, but we'll see. I mean, everybody's, I get it.
WWE needs to, you know, they got to do something right now, too, because, you know, obviously the public perception of them is not great right now, but, you know, the product on the whole is still
pretty hot. They're on the road to WrestleMania. They'll be fine. This is their peak moment, and this is where people start to tune in and watch their show, because they have certain events that are timed at certain times to get the rush in. Okay,
but the Rumble was mid.
But you know, this is the time of year where people start tuning in to see what's up. You know, people who don't watch regularly. AEW doesn't have that really. They really don't.
No.
They don't have a signature event that then
kicks off peak
season to then lead to their big time card. They don't
Wembley may be that in a few years, but for right now it's not.
There's a pay-per-view the week after Wembley. So if that's the kickoff, we're in trouble. That should be the goal, I think.
Well, I think what that kicked off was like 6 pay-per-views in 10 weeks or something.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. But what other news was there that you wanted to talk about, Paul?
I don't really want to talk about the Vince stuff. Doesn't really.
No, neither do I. I've talked about ad nauseum.
Haven't, but I'm glad for that. I will say I read it in the Observer, and I literally got ill.
I read the filing.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to do that, and I know you talked about it. And I think Dave nailed it. From everything I've heard.
Well, no, Dave and I came to separate conclusions on separate nights. If even 25% of it is true, it's one of the worst things I've ever read.
Well, I'm not even a horrible
human being thing.
I'm not even. Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, like just I've got my opinions and I'll keep them to myself. But he's screwed and good. You know,
Never going to trial. He's going to pay cash. It's a civil trial. It's not.
I hope he goes to jail. I hope, something comes up. I don't think he will, but
to get that through discovery. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think he's going to pay, or an insurance company is going to pay if he has personal insurance. And then it's going to be, no admittance of wrongdoing.
Honestly, you don't want to put Janelle through
trial. Well, maybe she wants to go through a trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe, but those lawyers are.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
trust me. I just had to file a. I am part of a federal case right now.
Okay.
So I had to file a bunch of evidence and stuff like that. I didn't feel good about it because I said, well, maybe I can hide this, but I can't.
She may want to talk in a civil trial, but I'm not sure if she wants to talk in a criminal trial because the burden of proof is a lot different in a criminal trial. So.
Well, yeah, and the burden proof is lower in a civil trial, so that's what it's about. And you know what? Charges may get led from there, but dude, it's still early. It's too early to talk about
way early, but he's gone, and that's a good thing. But we got to talk about this show, and I mentioned it to you, you know, before we started when we were trying to work out our technical details. I got really frustrated watching this show, and I will say, okay, I just watched in the last 2 days, I've caught up, right? So I watched Ring of Honor, believe it or not. I watched Rampage. I watched Collision. I watched Dynamite. So maybe part of this is burnout. But I will say I watched 3 straight matches that opened with Jon Moxley's music. And I watched the exact same match 3 times. I watched the undercard guy get the heat on Moxley and then Moxley come back to win. It's called the finish.
Funny you say that, but go ahead. Sorry.
I called the finish to the opening match because our buddy Kevin in the Discord said, "Oh, I hope Moxley just, you know, squashes him in 3 minutes." And I said, "No, you're going to see a 10-minute back and forth match." I did get one thing wrong. I said Jeff Hardy's going to put him through a table with a moonsault, and he went for a moonsault and missed it. And then I said, "And after that, Moxley's going to choke him out, and Jeff Hardy's not going to tap." That's exactly the finish that happened. And I saw it on Rampage. I saw it on it was a tag team match on Collision, but it was the same thing. Now, granted, starting the show with Moxley's entrance is pretty good. It's a great way to get the crowd fired up and everything. And for TV, it's good too. But
it is why when I used to travel and go hang out with all you guys for these 4-day extravaganzas where we go watch 10 shows and stuff like that. And I'd come out and I'd go, I'm not sure I like wrestling anymore because all the matches are the same. And you know what? Larry David's talking to Bill Simmons on a podcast and David's ribbing Simmons about his love of professional wrestling. Oh, you like it for the performance? But he literally says, every match is kind of the same, isn't it? And it usually isn't that true, but here kind of is.
And I remember when Dynamite started, one of the awesome things was every one of the matches was different. Like you had different styles, you had different lengths,
you have the same people wrestling every week and everybody has their match that they do. And it's not, and this is where the value of actual squashes with just generic jobbers, you go in there, you don't do 50-50, you just run through the guy, show him their thing. And then these other matches, these 3.5 specials, which I, again, have become the new squash match, that then they actually feel different. Those are your TV main events. And the problem is there's too much product from both companies, to be honest with you. There's no heat in any of this wrestling whatsoever. And by heat, I mean, it doesn't feel like a fight in a ring. It feels like they're doing a match. And that's a problem, I think, for wrestling, because then it just becomes, all right, next guy, this guy makes me laugh. Then we have to go for entertaining as opposed to, you know, people want to see a fight type of thing. And it's one of those weird things where on both this show and Raw, there was one thing that really got me interested in a certain segment, and that was the Judgment Day beatdown of R-Truth and the Luchador beatdown of Moxley here.
Yeah.
Felt like an actual beatdown. Kicking, stomping, punching, the type of thing you do in a street. And that's what I want out of my wrestling, is for it to feel like these are actual people and they're actually beating people up in this kayfabe world, so to speak, et cetera, et cetera, as opposed to running in, doing an RKO from nowhere or whatever, you know, there's a difference between that. There's a level of brutality in getting punched and stomped versus having a wrestling move put on you. And that one, we were raised on wrestling as that kind of gritty, these are tough men who come in. This is the only business they can do because they are so dangerous or whatever. You know, they need wrestling licenses because otherwise they may hurt normal people. You know, those kind of dopey ass things that we used to do. And yeah, exactly. There's no stakes to any of this. Nobody expects, you know, you look at the match, we go, oh, that'll be a good match, as opposed to, we already know who's going to win. Why am I paying attention to this thing? Unless there's going to be some heat to it. And there's not. And it's disturbing to me because this is why I can't watch indie wrestling anymore. I really can't.
And even like the, you know, the pay-per-views that are coming, like, I mean, they're, you know, I will say the Sting retirement, that one, I'm
interested.
That's going
to be a big deal. That's a stakes thing, though. This is the last time you're probably going to see Sting wrestle.
And honestly, next week's Dynamite, I mean, has got some stakes, you know?
It has to because of the arena that they booked.
Yeah. Well, they've sold 3,000 tickets so far. And I will say they've done everything they should. We'll just see if they can get six in there. I mean, I think that'll be a win. I'm not sure if they'll get there, but I mean, they got three now. So this opener, John Moxley and Jeff Hardy, on my freaking TV screen again, you know,
again, because he's had it for the past 3 weeks now. Yeah. And he's lost every match and this is the slow burn turn. Nobody's explained how he deserves this match though, or how he got this match or why we're watching it right now. Did John Moxley have an open contract? Did Jeff Hardy just kind of, he was so mad about his loss last week, he stormed into the office and he signed the open contract for John Moxley, and that's why we have him here.
No, there's, we just have the match because Moxley moves ratings and he should kick off every show. I will say right off the top, this is a great match, you know, but I didn't care. Great. I thought so. You know, Jeff Hardy didn't really mess too much up. Oh, well, towards the end, he hit a twisting moonsault and landed right on Mox's head. And then
there was a bit of that tonight, wasn't there?
Yeah,
Commander.
They did mention, Moxley, I noted, was very lean. He's getting in really good shape. Excalibur pointed out at the start of the match that the rules are relaxed. And keep this in mind for later. And because the fans have been wanting to see John Moxley and Jeff Hardy go one-on-one for so long. That's a direct quote. Who are these people? Where is the clamor for John Moxley and Jeff Hardy?
That's making up a story.
It is.
As opposed to making things make sense on the story you have.
They also pointed out that next week, Tony Khan is going to have a big announcement. It's been a while since we had one of those. So,
you know what pissed me off most about this match?
I don't know.
I'll tell you, it's something very subtle that they did. And then they decided, it felt like there was a directive on this opening match to lose the giggles and the playfulness. And they called this thing straight. And it was fantastic. The way they were calling this straight
that was gone by the second match.
But, no. That's what I meant. I meant right after this match.
Yeah.
Goofball Jones over here decides to start doing it.
I didn't. Yeah. You know what? You're right. Because I didn't write any jokes from the announcers in here.
I really enjoyed the commentary too on the first match. I'm watching this going, somebody put a directive for them to be serious, obviously.
And they even made the note about missing, you know, the moonsault and that he might have clipped Moxley. And so the TLDR version of this match is, and this applies for every match on this show, the guy that was going to lose took 80% of the match, and then the guy that won got his finisher and won.
Yeah.
And so Mox choked him out after he missed a Swanton, which I mentioned earlier. I thought it was a great match. Now, at some point in this match, Moxley was arguing with what I wrote down were fans. The announcers did not identify them. I thought they were just fans in lucha masks. I really did. I didn't know who they were.
They said it on commentary.
Are you sure? Because
they said it was Mystico and Volador Jr. And
they said that for real? Yeah. Okay, because they said it at the end when they attacked, but I didn't realize. Okay, so maybe
you thought those were fans who dressed up in suits.
Yeah,
nice of Los Ingobernables CMLL to finally make an appearance.
Yeah. And I didn't see Volador. I mean, I would have recognized Volador Jr.
I mean, Andrade leaves, and all of a sudden, CMLL now wants to work with him again. Yeah.
Well, and they made a big deal about it, and I think people are misunderstanding this. They said it was, people think they're coming in on excursion. I think they're just here for a week.
They're in the American South and it's closer to Mexico.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But
hold on. Before we go there, here's a tangent for you.
Okay.
I watched the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Don't know if you did.
Of course I did.
You remember how we were talking about Andrade looking like he was going to be in the beef division because of AEW and how big he was?
Oh,
comes into WWE. and that is the land of giants still, because he looks just average there. Well, and that's amazing.
Did you hear Cole? He gives his size. He says, Andrade, 5'8", 210 pounds. Oh my God. In AEW, this dude, I would have sworn he was 260.
Yeah, he looked huge.
And like, you know, 6 feet tall, you know. And the 5'8", 210 is probably right, because I think about him with Charlotte, and they're about the same height. And Charlotte is not as tall as she sometimes appears, because she's usually wearing heels, but she's about 5'8". So, yeah. Maybe 5'10", but yeah, it was,
she's taller than him, because, in Phoenix, when it wasn't out that they were dating, ran into them on the streets of Phoenix, and okay. she is tall.
Well, and she was probably wearing heels too.
Yeah, I believe so.
But yeah, so after the match, after Moxley choked him out, and then Moxley offered him a handshake, and Jeff Hardy flipped him off.
Well, no. He had the up yours, and then the bang or whatever the hell he's doing.
So
he doesn't want to insult kids still.
What's funny about that is, if you watched Rampage, and I'm sure you didn't.
I watched part of it.
Well, he offered Lee Moriarty a handshake, and he got attacked for his efforts.
Ah, okay.
So there's two straight matches that Moxley has shown respect to his opponent, and the opponent has basically thrown it back in his face. And not only that, but Jeff Hardy's been doing this to all his opponents. So anybody that's offering Jeff Hardy respect is kind of an idiot, in my opinion, but I'm not going to tell Moxley.
It's like shaking hands with Tully Blanchard, you know.
There you go, yeah. So then the guys in the mask jumped the barricade, and they got in the ring. And then I wrote down, oh, these are the luchadors that they've been talking about. And they did a 4-on-1 beat down to Mox. They pointed out that Blackpool Combat Club was not there. I have no idea why. But he did get saved. Did you catch who saved him?
Yeah, it was Daniels, Seidel, and 2.0.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote down Andretti, but yeah, I think it was I had to rewind three times to try to figure out who that fourth person was. But yeah, it made more sense.
I don't know. Was it Volador Jr. didn't have the mask?
Yeah,
he was a shade of burgundy that I have never seen naturally in a human being, and I was a little worried for his blood pressure. But
yeah, Volador looks like the love child of Bret Hart and Ezekiel or Elias without a beard.
Okay, yeah. I'll go with that.
Yeah. But yeah, so they beat him down, and then they did, and then eventually that sets up a four-way for next week, as well as I think a six-man for a four-way for Friday and a six-man for next week.
I think it's an eight-man for Collision, isn't it? Or no, you're right.
For Dynamite.
Dynamite. Yeah, you're right. Right.
Because
right.
I think Danielson is wrestling Hecherico on Collision.
Yes. Yeah. A technical battle, even though we've never seen the other guy be technical ever.
And
if you're gonna set this up. He should have been had a match tonight. How about that?
Or a video package. Something.
Let me know who the hell this guy is. And then
8-man for Rampage. There
okay,
you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. But Moxley's not in it.
Collision mixed up, because you're right. I do skip Rampage, because when you said, did you watch, you didn't watch Rampage, I go, no, I watched part of it. No, I watched part of Collision. I didn't watch part of Rampage.
I watched
all
of both shows, and that's on me.
Yeah. My bad. That's on me.
Yeah. So next up, we have the first Dealer's Choice match. We had all these ideas last week about who these Dealer's Choices
were. Oh, we booked this perfect.
And they shat the bed, in my opinion.
Yes.
Although, I mean, okay, to be fair, if the idea is that Toa Leoni is going to be world champion in a year, this was a great kickoff. But does anybody really think that he's going to not just go back to being just another guy in a tag team that loses as much as they win?
Call him?
A future world Toa Leoni? Did I call him Taya Leoni? Like, I don't know.
You came close to Taya Leoni, which is the star of the Naked Truth and the Good
Toa
Wife.
Leona? Is that
Toa
it? Toa Leona, right? Oh no. Hey, we got a bunch of people watching. If anybody sees the rankings, can you send us a link? I want to know what the rankings are. I want to know if Toa Leona is in the rankings.
Sitcom star.
Yeah. Was she in Madam Secretary too?
Yes. That's what I was thinking. Madam Secretary, the Naked Truth, which is one of the reasons I moved out to LA.
I love that show. Did you write on it?
I was trying to write on it.
Anyways, Toleon. And Taz was back to his jokes. He called him Beast Mode Jones.
Yes.
The announcers would not shut up about the rankings in this because, of course, Hangman's in there.
Rankings are coming.
Yeah.
I hope it's like Emma
No, they said after this show, immediately following Dynamite, go check their social media. There's going to be rankings. And Hangman's going to be in there. Swerve's going to be in
there. Okay, the rankings are out.
Okay. So let me guess. Okay. In no particular order. Hangman?
No. What? In no particular order. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Hangman, Swerve, Takeshita?
No.
Okay. These rankings are shit. I'm done. How is Takeshita not in the rankings?
Do you want them? I'll give them to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Strickland, Page, Copeland, Moxley, and Roderick Strong.
Yeah. You know what? That's not bad. I did not expect Roderick to be in there, but he absolutely belongs in there.
Your women's contenders, Deonna Purrazzo, Thunder Rosa, Hikaru Shida, Sky Blue, and Mariah May.
Has Sky Blue even been on TV this year?
Yes, she's been doing the goofy, spooky crap with Julia Hart, I believe.
I don't think so.
Whatever.
You know that Takeshita beat Darby Allin? Not that long ago, and Christopher Daniels.
Your tag team contenders are Sting and Darby Allin, Silver and Reynolds, Danielson and Castagnoli, Private Party, and Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta.
Didn't Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta just have their first match ever together?
Yes,
the last time they wrestled.
Yes, and they're already their number five, the Craig Pittman of rankings, and then your trios champions. Those contenders, Bullet Club Gold, the Hardys, and Mark Briscoe.
Oh, come on.
Dark Order, FTR, and Daniel Garcia, and the House of Black are your number five contenders.
Behind the Dark Order.
Yeah.
So I guess they're counting dark matches because the Dark Order has won three different dark matches. Twice against Brandon Cutler and Colt Cabana, and the other one against the Brick City Boys.
These things are gone by July.
The world title ones I would say are not bad, but the rest of them, oof.
Yeah.
Copeland makes sense. I'm surprised they put him in there.
Lucha Brothers nowhere to be found. Young Bucks nowhere to be found on the tag team.
Well, and Young Bucks haven't wrestled since Full Gear, and Lucha Bros probably since before that, so that makes
sense. Okay, that's true. Whatever.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Dark Order, come on, man.
You can't put Top Fly and Action Andretti in your trios instead of the Dark Order?
I think they've been losing.
Oh, that's true, too.
Didn't they
beat a random luchador team at some point?
last year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, the rankings reset because, as we know, like Hangman lost twice to Swerve. So I do, I do like the fact they put Roddy in there. He's been winning a lot. So
yeah,
that surprises me. But Takeshita should be in there. He's 2-0.
Yes.
One of the wins is against Darby, and he's going to beat Jericho next week. So next week he better get in the rankings when he beats Jericho. That's all I can say. But getting ahead of ourselves a little bit there.
Yeah,
I'm glad you mentioned.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So this match, Hangman Page and Toleone, same thing as the first one. Toleone took 80% of this match. He looked like a killer.
It's Toleona.
Toleona. He looked like a killer. Hangman kept going for the dead eye. He couldn't hit it. Leona just kept firing back constantly, and he looked like a monster. He did this one move where he did like a diving headbutt onto Hangman while he was hanging upside down from the top rope. I've never seen that before, and it looked freaking awesome. His first ever singles match, and he's dominating a former world champion. So I hope they actually do something with this guy.
He did too much. Like, you kind of want him to be a monster, and he's a phenomenal base for Hangman, by the way. He caught him smooth twice, I think. Not that I know a lot about work rate, but I noticed that he was in the right place for when he was doing the moonsault and stuff like that. But he was almost doing way too much stuff instead of just being a monster and beating down Hangman. You know, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, they expect work rate. You got to do more. No, man, do less.
He needs to go watch Umaga tapes.
Definitely.
Yeah, because that's what he did. And
you're getting to it, but I loved the ending of this match.
So I don't know if I missed it turned around when Toa did a moonsault from the apron to the outside and he landed flat on his face.
Yes.
And then Hangman went to the top rope and he hit a moonsault from the top. Then he went for the buckshot. He missed it. Toa caught him, hit a Samoan drop. Mm-hmm. But then Hangman, instead of just getting up and going for the buckshot, he cradled him with the clip thing, and he got the pin. So, I mean, it came off like a fluke finish. Hangman was like beat down, Toa couldn't have looked better. But did I miss him in the finisher?
No. I love that it wasn't on a finisher.
That
was just a basic move. If commentary and production had been a little bit more foresight, I would have really hammered this is a battle of guys with monstrous clotheslines.
Okay, yeah.
Because Toa did the discus clothesline.
Well, is it fair to say they probably don't know Toa's moveset?
No, that's what I'm saying. If they had been a bit up more on the ball, you know, you have Hangman who does the big, he does that one and he does the buckshot. I mean, they both were like killing each other with these clotheslines.
Yeah.
You really pushed that in the beginning and you hype that up, and then when it starts to happen, and you know,
Hangman hit him with like three straight.
You might have educated people on Toa's moveset before this, etc.
Maybe like a squash last week or something.
Yes,
but no, I mean, he couldn't look better. And then after the match, Leona grabbed a chair, but Hangman got it back from him and he just sat down in the middle of the ring. And I thought he was gonna do a promo or something, and no, just segmented. Yeah. So he looked good. They mentioned at one point Toa hit him so hard he might have knocked the Magnum TA mustache right off his face or something like that.
No, it was the Tony Schiavone mustache off his
face. Yeah, from TBS days.
TBS days. And they hinted at Swerve's opponent here.
Yes. Well, they did that on Collision. They did an interview. Yeah. Hangman said, I'm not going to tell you who it is. You're going to have to wait till the end of the whole effing show.
Okay. So that would have, because when they said it was 20, I was like, did they get Riddle already?
No. And then they said, in here, they said that. And then they also said, you see if you can beat him in under 4 minutes and 20 seconds or something.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought, oh, maybe it is going to be Riddle or something. Because I thought, man, there's no way it can be Rob Van Dam.
No, there was another Rob Van Dam thing later. So it was.
Yeah, the whole effing show, they brought that up again, I think.
Or he's one of a kind or something like that.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. So, yeah, they made it obvious without telling you, which, honestly, I think I know what the announcement next week's going to be. I think that they're going to announce a show in Boston on March 13th.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They're going to give it a special name.
TD Ameritrade Arena, right?
Yeah, and they're gonna give it a special name, you know, something like, remember the CM Punk one was the First Dance? So they're going to give it a name, and they're going to say that a new AEW signee is going to debut on that show.
They're going to hype her then. That's good.
Without saying who it is, like similar to what they did with Punk.
That's great. Do that. Yeah. Build your audience. What a novel concept.
I think that's what they're going to do, but we'll see. So earlier today, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson arrived in the stretch limo. They don't have the Vince McMahon mustaches anymore. They now have Leonardo DiCaprio goatees.
Good. And, that's a strong move. I like that. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for getting away from the Vince symbolism. Yeah.
And someone showed up and they handed them a format. They called him Nick. Nicholas got mad and says, it says on our birth certificate, it's Nicholas. And he gave the middle names and they're just ridiculous. They're probably true. He
called Ron John, which is a surf shop, which is great.
Ron Jackson.
Yeah.
And and he fined the guy $500. And then Matt is like, oh man, I'm really sorry about my brother. He's, you know, he's a little bit hot headed and hope you have a great show and make sure you pay that fine by the end of the night.
They've now shifted it to from dual Vinces to good cop, bad cop Jackson. Because one's happy and supportive and the other's, you know, angry all the time kind of thing. One's passive aggressive.
Yeah, but they're still both dicks.
But yes, they're still both dicks. And this kid deserved that fine for referring to them as Matt and Nick in the first place. It's like, here you go, Matt and Nick. You don't
call your boss that? Mr. Jackson.
Well, not even Mr. Jackson, but you say, here's the rundowns for today. You don't even address my name necessarily unless it's sir. I just look. Oh, the flippancy. Yes, find that child and have him learn the hard way.
And the guy mouths $500. Like, this poor guy probably makes $500 a week.
I need them abusing Mookie, though.
I got to say, I've been down on these skits. This one was good. This one was funny.
This one was fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I like where they're going, and they did another one later that was not quite as good, but not bad. Wardlow came in with the Undisputed Kingdom, and Cole's now in a wheelchair. And
Dasha had a bad night on this one.
Yeah, I missed one.
Well, number one, she paused and being led to the ring by, and it's like because Roddy came first.
Okay,
and the other three came, and it goes, Mr. Wardlow. I mean, Mr. Mayhem Wardlow.
Oh, God. Especially just call Mike Wardlow. I don't know if that's his name. I think his last name's Wardlow.
I think his first name's Mike.
Oh, is it? Okay, I was just making a joke because of Mike Santana. So this is Wardlow versus Commander. They hadn't advertised this. They didn't even advertise Wardlow in action. So this match just randomly happened. And Cole's on commentary.
That's all right. You won't have to see him for a while after this one, probably. Oh, it looks like. God.
So Cole says, I feel like $1 million in Taz says, well, except for the not being able to walk part. That was funny.
Yes.
and Cole didn't have an answer for that. Fans are chanting for Wardlow, even though he's a heel. And Cole was yapping on and on about stuff. But I'm watching this match, and this is the exact same as the first two. Like, Commander was getting all the offense on Wardlow. And Wardlow would come back with like one move. And, you know, so Commander would hit him like six kicks, and then Wardlow would catch him and throw him across the ring.
Hold on. Put up the Jonathan Messenger. My wife thinks his name is Wardlow.
Wardlow.
If that's not like a 50s sitcom name, if I've ever heard it, you know, Leave It to Beaver starring Wardlow.
Might be Chad and Rob's little brother.
Yeah.
I like his avatar there. Needs more cowbell.
Oh, Wardlow did not have a fun.
No, week. No, he did not. This match, the crowd just got killed by the time, because this just keeps going on and on. And like, Wardlow's not putting this guy away.
Hey, you're waiting for the comeback. Just kill the guy.
This should have been, like you talked earlier about squash. I mean, this is a squash match, you know?
Yes.
But Commander had just won a four-way on Rampage. So this is the third straight show I've seen Commander as well.
We can't make him Fuego del Sol, even though he has the win-loss record of Fuego del Sol.
Well, he won, though. He won a four-way on Rampage to get a shot at Orange Cassidy.
Fuego del Sol occasionally won a match, too, to get a contract. Yeah. Remember that?
That's true, yeah. So they're outside the ring. Wardlow tried to toss him in, and Commander is like brushing him off. And then Commander hit Arana into the ring steps. And Wardlow started limping after that. And that's where I noticed it. Okay. And then Commander kicked the ropes when Wardlow was trying to get in. He nailed him in the, as Taz called it, the yambag region. He did a rope walk. Commander did a rope walk, but I think he hit him with a double thrust kick. Uh-huh. And then he hit a Phoenix Splash. and landed on his throat.
Lands right on his throat.
Yeah, and Wardlow's grabbing his throat, and Taz even pointed it out. And then Commander does another rope walk, and Wardlow grabbed him midair and slammed him, but he barely got him.
His knee gave out during the power bomb.
The next one, he goes to power bomb, and Roddy's like, no, do your move. So he does the draping high knee, but he barely touches him because his knee's jacked by this point. So he didn't even touch him. Like the last time he did that move, it looked awesome. Here he barely hit it because he probably couldn't even lift his leg. Then he goes to do the power bomb, and he couldn't even get Commander weighs 120 pounds, and he can't get him up. And I mean, he's powerbombed freaking JD Drake before, and he can't get Commander up. His knee gives out. He drops him, gets the win. He's going to be out for a while, I think.
I think he tore his ACL or something. Yeah. Like that. But between those things and then the post match, which we'll get to in a second, where we have to drag Commander back to take the thing, this felt like a little bit like Commander throwing a bit of a temper tantrum because he wasn't getting his stuff in clean. And hey, I need my shine before you kill me type of a thing.
Let's just do a 30-second squash where Wardlow squashes the dude. Do your Roderick Strong comedy promo. Then let's do a Takeshita squash to set up his match with Jericho next week. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need a freaking 10-minute Wardlow versus Commander match.
No, and as much as fun as Commander can be, we've been having him on every show every week. We don't need to see the rope walk. We don't need to see his high-flying offense.
I think I mentioned three in a row. I think I might have saw him on ROH, too. I might have saw him four shows in a row. He's right up there with Queen Aminata and the people I've seen the most this year.
We'll get to that in a second too, but
she's coming.
Well, I want to talk about that promo for some reason during the match. But
so anything else you want to add about this match? I got the post match up here.
No, I'm ready to move on.
So they're done the match, and Cole's about to leave, and Shivani tells him to say hi to your girlfriend, which was interesting. And then Roddy grabbed a mic, he cut a promo, says Commander. Taken the deal we offered you on Saturday. And then they're about to attack Commander, and who wanders out to make the save in the slothliest manner possible, but Orange Cassidy. He's got Trent Beretta, Chucky T, and Rocky Romero behind him. And I wrote down six-man coming up on Rampage. I was one day off because I think they're doing it on Collision. And then the fans start chanting, freshly squeezed. Roddy tells him to shut up. And then you guys want to fight? Well, we'll see you later. And he takes off. And that was that.
Between the screaming of the commander again, they walk down to the ring.
Yeah.
To save him from a beatdown.
Yeah.
They get in the ring and they just look at each other for a few moments. And you're just like, where's the wrestling of my youth where it just would be a fight? As opposed
beat to, on I mean, him, the guys run down, you know, they got weapons.
Oh no, like, but now we have to play them. I mean, even playing the music bugs me in some ways.
Jane, you said
I like the music. It's just playing the music during a save, unless it's to give them attention to say, oh, somebody's coming, we need to get out of here.
And then maybe you attack them from behind or something. Yes. Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where I'm just like, all right, that was lame as hell.
Yeah. So, and you know what? And anybody that thought, oh, you know what? These guys are in a main event heel stable now. We're going to drop the comedy.
So is this on Rampage or Collision?
I believe it's on Rampage because they're doing a promo on Rampage.
Is that a Rampage-y thing?
No, they're doing a promo on Rampage.
Oh.
To build up the match on Collision.
Who's going to talk? That's my question.
Whatever.
Statlander?
No, you know what? Okay, so this is advertised as a promo with Orange Cassidy and Best Friends. You know who's going to talk, right?
Danhausen.
Roderick Strong. I guarantee it. Write it down. I'll get back to you next week.
And then Orange will say something like, shut up, you talk too much.
Or whatever.
Do it. Yeah.
Whatever.
And that's fine, because that's what Orange should be doing. But
now, next
I don't need a Trent Beretta promo here. I'll put it that way.
Next, we got a good promo segment, I thought. Tony Schiavone sat down with Sting, Darby, Ricky Starks, and Big Bill to set up their tag title match for next week. No physicality by anybody is agreed to, and this is key for later. So Ricky says, it's about time we got to talk face-to-face. You've had a great journey. You know where that journey started? 3 years ago at Revolution, and they showed highlights of that warehouse match that they had. And Sting reminded him, well, who pinned you in that match? And, of course, it was him. And Darby says, you know what? This is all a load of shit. And he said, you're just treating this like a stepping stone. You don't respect anyone. And then he screams at Ricky, look at me while I'm talking to you, which is funny because Ricky was staring right at him while he said it. I was like, what is he so upset about? And Ricky says, at Revolution or next week, two things are going to happen. I will retain the AEW tag titles. And secondly, I'm going to get my win back on you. You're not going to make it to your retirement. And I will never respect you, Darby. And then Bill says, you two continue to run your mouth. All you've done is talk about going in as the tag champs without talking to us, and you're overlooking us. You two represent everyone here, and we're going to take out our frustrations on both of you. But that was great.
Yes.
Yeah. So Sting says, you were the first one to get in the ring with me. You had balls to get in my face and talk smack, but you got to earn my respect. And you, big man, I faced many big men. The only difference is they were killers, and I'm not sure about you. And the camera focused on Bill, and Bill gave him this look like, you wait, motherfucker. And Darby says,
I want Bill to be a killer. Please, bring that.
Oh, yeah. Darby says, I respect you, Ricky. Every time you point the finger at someone else, there's only one person to blame. And then Ricky threw water in his face, and Darby gets up, and he's about to hit him. And Ricky's like, come on, hit me. And Sting says, I've always hated talk. We will hit you in Phoenix. He will hit you in Phoenix, and I will too. And that was that. I thought this was great. And they finally made use of the no physicality thing, you know, because, I mean, the only reason you do that is to tease the heel, trying to get the guy to hit him.
And I'm happy with Schiavone and Atten Ross.
Yes. By all, yeah. Schiavone is overworked.
A bit.
Not a bit.
No, I would agree.
He had a bad night on Saturday.
Oh, did
he? They were doing the Lady Frost match. Yes. And he kept calling her Lady Storm. Like, and then there's a couple. Oh, one point they mentioned that it was Lady Frost's Collision debut. Or no, sorry, they mentioned it was her third ever match on Collision while there's a graphic on the screen that says making her Collision debut.
Yeah, because she was on Dynamite a couple times.
She was on Collision a couple times. The graphic was wrong in that case, yeah. But Schiavone's going on and on about... But the thing is, he's making so many mistakes, you assume he's wrong on that too.
They've turned him into AEW Michael Cole, where it's just like, we need a broadcast, so we're going to plug him in somewhere.
Oh, someone tweeted me the rankings. Look at that. I know you already read them, but wow.
Well, now you have a copy for yourself.
John Silver and Alex Reynolds are the number two tag team in the world. Fuck off. pardon my French. Friend of the show. I've had John Silver in the clinch. I'm looking forward to that match next week. I think Sting and Darby got a win, right?
Unless the Bucks end up turning it into a three-way.
That could be, and they got the power.
Or they end up, because remember, do we want to jump to the Renee segment?
I mean, we could. I mean, and then I can just, when we get to it, I'll just say, we talked about it earlier.
Because, let's just go over it now. Go ahead.
Yeah, remarkable Renee Paquette was with Darby, and she asked him about his admiration for the Bucks. And the Bucks show up and we love you. You change the world. This is what we do. You're a young, hot star just like us. But I'm perturbed about one thing. Why are you letting a 65-year-old leech take money out of your pocket? It'll be great once he's gone. I got a great idea for a gimmick for you. We're going to form a hot new trio. And Nick says, why have you been ducking us and ghosting our techs? And they said, the only thing on my mind are the AEW Tag Team Championship. Matt says, we're going to have to get your attention in a different way. And then
that feels foreboding to me about this match.
So you think they're going to insert themselves into the match?
No, they could always cancel the match on them.
Oh.
They could make it Bucks versus Bill, and or they could like just throw out the results of the match or whatever. But there's something that they're going to do here to screw with that match. And I don't know if it's Bill and Ricky end up losing the titles or not. But I love them as a team. I wouldn't take the titles off of them. I really do. I don't think. Yeah, I don't.
But
think
it's just you've tied yourself into this Sting unbeaten thing.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But Sting and Darby should win the titles in Greensboro, and they should not go in as champions.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
That is such a bad call to have them win it in Phoenix. That's the thing.
What if the Bucks screwed with their travel itinerary and then they didn't show up. And then so they insert themselves into the match. And then Sting and Darby show up at the last minute and interfere in the match. But like it's the Bucks screwed with their itinerary. Like they didn't, buy them the tickets.
Maybe, but it feels like
but then you're false advertising a match. You don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that. But how about this? We're executive vice presidents. We can sign ourselves for a match anytime. We signed this match for right after you guys beat Bill and Starks. Ring the bell. Ding ding. New tag team champs, the Young Bucks.
That would get heat. That takes away his unbeaten streak. And then you still have the title match in Greensboro.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could do that. I could see that. All right. Chris Jericho's entrance and fans sing along with him. Everyone seems to love him again. Although I thought I heard some boos at the end of it, but it's hard to tell. But they had this match. And stop me if you heard this before. Kyle Fletcher took 90% of the match. Looked like a killer. Jericho wasn't his best night. He looked slow and
Our friend Greg had a very cognizant
crowbar.
Crowbar had a observation about this. He said either he was knocked loopy by I think there was a spine buster.
There's
or
a spot
like
I pointed out where he not got knocked loopy. I'll look for.
Or he has a cruise flu, so to speak.
Like hungover.
Well, he hit a sick on the cruise too.
So there was one point where Jericho missed a Judas effect. Fletcher hit a rolling roundhouse, and that's where when he hit that rolling roundhouse, he kind of clipped him in the side of the head, and that's where he looked oozy.
Bigger picture on this match.
Yeah.
This match was ill-placed, and it went way too long.
Yeah, and the other thing is because Kyle Fletcher is the ROH TV champion, the fact that this wasn't a title match gave away the result.
I had also forgotten that Jericho was facing Keshta next week.
Well, that was the whole reason they had this match.
Well, yes, but they didn't explain that until like halfway through the match.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Callis was out there. And
I had forgotten all about the Keshta match next week. And it's like, boy, we could have had a promo or something beforehand to talk about that, but no, we just went into the match because I'm supposed to remember everything about everything if I watch and all here, these
here's
shows.
Another one what you could have done. You could have done like half of this match, where the part where Fletcher's looking great and he's hitting all his stuff and Jericho's just fighting him off and kicking out and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden Fletcher just says, screw this. Hobbs jumps in and
yes!
just beat the shit out of
Jericho. Yes, this should have been a DQ.
And Keshta runs in and it's three on one.
Yes.
Yeah. And then that sets up next week's match.
And they leave him there or whatever. Yeah. Yes.
Leave him for dead.
This was exactly what it should have been. You're exactly right. This is what it would have been in any other era of television. We're setting up for the Takeshita versus Jericho rematch, one-on-one. We have Hobbs and friggin' Callis out there, and they're not doing anything other than the little piddly.
Hobbs
stuff.
Did at one point. Jericho went for his lion salt and Hobbs punched him off the ropes when he's about to jump. That was good.
No, that was very good. But the win and loss thing does not matter here.
No,
because nobody cares about the winner or loser of this match because the big match is next week. So set this up and just get the Callis family DQ. That's all you had to do here. That's all you had to do.
I got to look up Jericho now on Cage Match.
When was the last DQ for a match, by the way, in AEW?
I don't know, but there's been like three of them. Jericho also 2-0. He's not in the rankings. Don't know why.
Yes, I know what they think, Jason. I get that, but they're wrong on this. DQs aren't a satisfying ending. Oh, yeah. You're right. But because we have, and because Raw does it all the time, because there's 3 hours of television.
Actually, they don't.
Or they used to.
That's a fallacy. Yeah, they used to.
There were 5 hours of television. They do a lot of distraction finishes and crap like that, which is what this was setting up to be.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily want that. Although, you know, so it ended up
you don't have Fletcher to do a DQ every week, but do one like once every 3 months. It'll be fine.
Fletcher's hitting everything under the sun. Jericho keeps kicking out. Finally, Fletcher goes for just a standard, you know, the Jay Lethal dive to the outside. And Jericho's standing out there. He's all woozy. And out of nowhere, and he almost missed it, he hit a Judas effect in midair. Kyle took it like a champ. Then he rolls Fletcher back in the ring.
Stiffed him on that, to be honest with you, but probably, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Rolls him back in the ring, gets on the top rope, and Fletcher is getting his way to his feet, and Jericho hits him with another Judas effect off the top rope, and he pinned him. And that was that. And you'll never guess what rating I gave this match.
3.5 stars.
Exactly.
3.5 star special, baby. That's all these matches are.
Yeah.
Although it's interesting, we now have to go to the super Judas effect.
Yes.
So do we need like 4 of them to beat Takeshita? Is he going to hit 4 Judas effects from like all sorts of crazy angles and stuff to try and get Takeshita down? And then Takeshita roars up in strong style until the last Judas effect hits him. Although I still think Takeshita should win this match.
You know, the idea here, I believe, is that John Moxley and Jeff Hardy, you know, Jeff Hardy's getting over even though he's losing. Toa Leona is getting over even though he's losing. Commander is getting over even though he's losing.
The TNA thing.
Kyle Fletcher is getting over even though he's losing. You know what? You do this once on a show, it might work. You do it in every single match.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
We don't want to make anybody look bad.
No, can't do that. Even though they kind of do.
But none of these guys are going to ever contend for titles anytime soon.
I mean, Jeff Hardy. Yeah.
Jeff Hardy may have a trios title match with Briscoe.
Kyle Fletcher is probably,
you can protect. That's the one
you can protect,
but then you do the DQ to protect him.
If they had just done this in this match only, everyone would be talking about Kyle Fletcher. How awesome he was.
Yes.
But now, you know, if anyone's going to talk about anyone in this show, it's going to be Toa Leona, and they're not going to do a damn thing with him.
No,
I guarantee you that
he's Gates of Agony. He's going to be ROH upper card, AEW lower card. He's going to be a goon for Swerve, and he'll go to Japan and it'll look good.
Yeah. Well, and even there, they only won. I think they got 4 points in the tag league.
No. You're right.
But I mean, they look good. In fact, Okada and Tanahashi requested a match with them at the end of the tour, believe it or not.
Huh.
Because they can beat them. So we got to recap.
Hold on. back in the day, you know, you used to have to call a promoter, or a promoter would say, "Don't beat my guys when they come guest in your territory or whatnot."
Yeah,
not Tony. Tony.
Oh, they can get in there with Tanahashi and Okada. Oh, yay! Can you send me a tape? All right. Recap of compilation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Recap of Deonna and Tony's history, and it was kind of cool. They showed a bunch of old pictures, and Deonna was talking about her tattoos, and she mentioned that they got them in the UK, and it symbolized two girls on their journey around the globe. But she said, "I want to know what that tattoo means to Tony," and that would play into later on.
Means I got a duck on my ankle.
Little baby duck.
Yeah,
it's just the duck itself doesn't mean anything.
I want to know what that tattoo means to Tony.
Yeah, that's what she said.
No, I know that, but it was such a lame line.
Oh,
This is the third week of this crap where she's trying to talk her friend back in her, and her friend's gone bye-bye in her head.
Her friend is getting more and more out there. You know what I didn't even realize? Like, she's making a bunch of, like, sexual innuendo jokes.
Oh, it's nothing but sexual innuendo.
And I don't even get half of them. Like,
because that's all 50s jokes. I mean, 50s movies are trying to get around the code. Like, if you watch Harvey, the movie with Jimmy Stewart and the Invisible Rabbit.
Yeah.
Like, the first 5 minutes of that is nothing but sex jokes.
See, I'm missing them because I don't get the references. So,
yeah.
She mentioned something about being knuckle deep at one point, and I'm like, I didn't realize it. So, anyways, we'll get to her later.
Okay, but this match in total, who are we trying to get over here?
Which, are you talking about this feud, Deonna and Tony?
Yes.
I think we're trying to get over Tony.
She's there. We don't now we need. Why does Tony have to be out for every Deonna Purrazzo thing? Because she just ends up swallowing up Deonna whole.
Yes. We'll talk about that. We got another segment before we get to that match.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. But I will say I totally agree with you. And they jumped the shark here.
Damn it! I jumped in there to get my rant going.
No, that's okay early. Because I will tell you. The next segment was a complete, utter waste of time. Which useless. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Oh, God.
So they come out. They do a full entrance. Caster doesn't do a rap. It's mostly the Bullet Club Gold entrance, but the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn came in later. Jay White's got a mic. He says he loves... we love you guys' thing, but we got our own thing, and you do the Guns Up. And I should point out they did the Scissor Me Daddy Ass thing. Guns Up for my New Orleans Gold members. Then we get Caster grabs a mic, and he says, we've dominated trios wrestling for years, but someone's missing. Bowens, get the Card Blade. And I'm like, what? I thought they got rid of Card Blade. So he goes under the ring. He brings out Card Blade, and they point out we haven't seen him in weeks. And then Colton Gunn says, no, we fired him. Austin, get the juice board. Fans are chanting juice board. And then they said, if you're not down with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang that we got. And then Billy grabs a mic and he says, I'm right here. And Austin says, Dad, this is kind of my thing. And Billy says, well, it was my thing when you were still a, well, let's not go there. I'll show you how to do it. If you're not down with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, then we got two words for you. And the crowd goes, suck it. And then Billy's like, no, 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 we got a new thing. And he says, guns up. And the fans are like, yeah, we want to do suck it. And that's it. Like,
this is a one-year story that they're gonna rush in like 3 weeks, because what's gonna happen, like, they're gonna come and do the same thing next week or in 2 weeks, and the Bullet Club goal when they come together for the scissoring is probably gonna like super kick them all.
I hope so.
But what they should do is just not even tease a turn ever and have them be a group for a year. Have them win matches together in various incarnations and, you know, switching titles around. And, okay, this week I'll be on this thing with you for the ROH trios, and you can come. Mm. Oh, and all the guns can fight for the AEW
we
trios.
We call it the Bang Bang Scissor Gang rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be the Freebird rules, but double as cool. You know, whatever you want to do with it, and you can have fun with it. And instead, what they're just going to do is rush to get to this match, I think.
Because I assume the end game here is eliminating one of these trios titles, which I'm all for.
Yeah,
they got too many titles as it is. So I'm assuming the match at Revolution is going to be these two teams against each other.
I would assume that as well.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got, yeah. So it's all just, I don't know, 6 minutes of nothing. Tony Storm does her entrance, and she's going to do commentary for the next match. Of course, they're in black and white. The announcers asked her about the tattoo. And she doesn't even remember it, she says. And then she starts talking about Hollywood key parties. So the match is Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie, but that doesn't matter because it's just all about Tony. The announcers kept going back.
I thought Taya was okay in this match, too. I usually don't like Taya Valkyrie.
I'll take your word for it. I don't remember. Like, I didn't write down much about the match because, you know, I wrote down that her and Johnny sucked face at ringside. Deonna was in control. The crowd was dead.
It was nothing but Tony stealing focus, though. That's all this thing was, because nobody could concentrate on the match.
No, exactly. And that played right into the finish. So Tony said she was given a lovely pair of beads, and they weren't from my neck. So I assume that's another sexual innuendo thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anal beads.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. They announced some matches for Rampage during here. Private Party and Top Flight again. Ricky Starks and Big Bill against the Dark Order in an eliminator match. If they're the number two contenders, why do they need an eliminator match? Willow Nightingale and Queen Aminata. So Queen Aminata.
Okay, this drove me nuts.
Okay,
this is why I brought this up earlier. Queen Aminata returns to face Willow Nightingale.
Yes.
Judging by how they phrased that.
Yeah.
Who do you think should win and who do you think will win?
Queen Aminata should win and Willow Nightingale
will. And Willow Nightingale's going to win because of this dumb Stokely Chris thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
But no, they plugged it as Queen Aminata's back.
And or you know Willow what? Nightingale. It might happen is Stokely might screw Willow.
I'm fine with that too.
Queen Aminato gets a roll up win.
I'm perfectly fine with that too. But if you're going to do that, then you plug Willow is going to face Queen Aminata.
But if that happens, they're not going to do anything with Queen Aminata.
No, of course
they did
not.
They did this once before with somebody. I can't remember who, but it was like a jobber got a win in one of these matches. I don't remember when, but they did nothing with the jobber after that.
Action Andretti.
No, not that one. I mean, that was a big time. No, it was with women. It was two women, and it was the one, I think it was Ruby Soho lost to somebody that.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Like Red Velvet or something, I think. I think it was Red Velvet.
It was actually. Someone on the, I thought it was someone a little lower than Red Velvet. I thought it was somebody who's not. Oh, was it Layla Hirsch?
Layla Gray, maybe?
Maybe Layla Gray. Yeah. Oh, actually, it might have been Layla Gray.
Yeah. But anyways, we got that match. We got
the lovely Layla Gray. I miss her. I'm gonna bring her back.
She was on ROH.
She's been on ROH. I know that.
No. I think she was on Rampage.
Oh, was she?
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I'll look it up. No, you might be right. It might have been ROH. We got the four Mexicans against Daniels. I wrote down Andretti, but I guess it's Sadal. Four
Mexicans. Is that their name?
2.0. They didn't say their names. I don't think. They said they were from CMLL, the CMLL Luchadors.
That's CMLL, yes.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be the new Forbidden Door,
I think. They did mention, so it's Volador, it's Mystico, it's Hesherico, and I don't know who the other one is.
Zeppo.
Who? Shut up.
Fourth Max Marks brother.
I wish it was Zandokin. I love that dude. That dude's like 6'3". He's like looks like Alberto Del Rio, like with a mask. It's pretty awesome. And we will hear from Orange Cassidy, the best friend. So back to the match. Lots of close-ups on Tony. Sliding dropkick by Deonna, and she gets in Tony's face, and then she starts mocking her by doing the, you know, like the thing that Jack, whatever his name is,
put him up.
Yeah. And then she gets knocked over. Then she sits back down and she starts complaining that someone pissed in her chair. I had no idea what that was about. I guess
she said someone else pissed in my chair.
Yes. Like, what is she talking about?
And then I think she said she pissed. I think she's basically implying I pissed in my chair. And then she's trying to blame somebody else. Okay. Yes. Water sports joke. Another sex joke for that. Yes,
so then Deonna puts on her finisher. But the camera cut back to Tony again.
Yes.
And then the tap out happened while the camera was looking at Tony. And this whole thing was all about Tony. And it doesn't matter. Deonna won, but nobody cares because it's all about Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. And I mean, I assume the match that they're like really building is Mariah, but.
They should be building it. And was she on another show? I thought they booked
Mariah wrestled on Collision.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And Tony was not allowed in Bossier City because she had to put down a couple horses in that city and they won't allow her back. So I don't know it's amazing. I remember this shit. But yeah, it's a mess. And we talked off air, I think, or maybe it was on air. I can't remember. We talked about being gaslit by.
Oh, yes. WWE yes. Fan. Yes. Yes. We can talk about it now.
I'm told that they're doing great things with their women's division right now. So
moving on.
Yeah. Did you hear Brian and Vinny's show from Sunday?
Yes.
Lisa Gifford was talking about the Bechdel test. Is that what you call it?
Where you have a scene with two women and it doesn't, and it, yes.
So I had an argument with her over DM because I don't think the Ruby and Cool Hand Luke or Ange and Soraya thing, I think that does pass the Bechdel test because I think it does because it's not two girls fighting over a dude. It's Soraya and Cool Hand fighting over Ruby. You know what I'm saying?
Basically, though, it's when that I get your point. If it were the original definition of the Bechdel test, you'd be correct. But now it's come to mean you can't have a scene with two women without a guy involved.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so or at least even talking about a guy.
Yes.
Okay, and that's what they've kind of devolved it into now at this point because you got Harley Cameron. You know, like assaulting him.
That's what sexually. They should call this team instead of the Outcasts. They call them the Bechdel test.
Oh my God. That would be funny.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. So I guess Lisa was right then. Lisa,
you know, Harley Cameron stinks, but she's really good at being Harley Cameron. If that makes sense.
Her and Mariah should be a team.
This crazy thing works for her at times to me.
Yeah, like it makes me laugh. She shows up with a knife and you're like, why is she wearing a knife?
It's like when I watch Thea Hale and JC Jane on NXT. It's like, look, this is dopey, but they're good at being dopey, kind of a thing. Chelsea Green's the same way for me. So yeah.
You know what the ultimate and stupid comedy was this week? It was the favorite thing I saw on TV this week, I think. Was that Chase U memorial video. Oh my God. Tell Me a Lie playing in the background. And they even left Bodie Hayward in there. I was in heaven watching this. And yeah, and then JC Jane saves the university. It's right, stupid NXT, as hell.
I mean, back to AEW.
Yeah, back to AEW, I guess. Oh, damn it. sorry, I'm just kidding. Okay, we had the Renee and Darby.
If you want, you can start a show on Fight Game Network reviewing NXT.
Can I? I'd have to Garrett about that. That'd be fun. I'm not gonna do it. Although you know what? If I analyzed NXT as closely as I analyzed,
you'd hate it. You'd hate it.
And my notes, okay, this was 2,449 words. I guarantee you I got 5,000 words on NXT. And yeah,
we have a heat index this week because we didn't have a boom either. So
Hey, we should do a heat index.
No,
we might have time at the end of the show.
No, I didn't know because I haven't thought about it.
Think,
there's okay, no I'll heat do, in this show I'll either, so let's go.
Okay, fair enough. We're at the main event already. Because we had the remarkable Renee and Darby. We talked about this already.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. All right. So RVD and Swerve Strickland. So the RVD was Hangman's choice. But before the match starts, we get Hangman on the big screen. And he says, you should have read the contract. And he says, good choice earlier with Toa, but you don't know how to read. Not only did we pick the opponent, but we get to pick the match. This isn't a normal singles match, but it's a hardcore match. And right away, I thought back to that first match where they had, where they just announced randomly that, oh, it's relaxed rules because the fans have been clamoring.
Yes, Jeff Hardy, this is John exactly Austin. Why they did that.
What do you mean? Like, that's exactly why they shouldn't have done that.
Well, hold on, because none of this makes sense anyway. If what is the point of having a dealer's choice?
Well,
to face the guy, it's you want a guy that's gonna beat the other guy or at least hurt the other guy, and maybe not. And I don't know what the baby face choice is, a challenge. I don't know. But you decide to bring 55-year-old Rob Van Dam in.
And Swerve is acting all scared because he's from ECW. And that was
he's only been beat three other times on this television. I mean,
and Swerve is like a badass with a stable behind him. So as soon as it's announced as a hardcore match, he should be thrilled. Oh, now my buddies can interfere.
Yeah, exactly.
Where were they? Like,
well, Brian Cage
showed up at one point. Yes. I guess Toa Leona had a match earlier, so you know, maybe he was hurt, even though he beat the shit out of him.
But yes, logically, none of this made sense.
No, and then of course the bell rings, and RVD hit him with a Van Daminator.
Shut up, Jeff! You analyze this too much. Well, that's my job here.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So RVD just, you know, stop me if you heard this before. Beat the crap out of Swerve for most of the match. The fans chanted, we want tables.
20 seconds into the match.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Hold on.
Let me go on my rant.
They didn't get tables, by the way, I don't think. Well, they did. They did.
Swerve went through a table.
Yeah. Swerve went through a table. Swerve didn't get put through a table.
No, he did not
Swerve
get put through a
jumped
table.
Off the top.
But they did not say, table. Put someone through a table. Clap, 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 clap. They said, we want tables. They got a table.
I stand corrected.
You know what? They could have put a table out there and not broken it, and it still would have sufficed for their want.
Yeah, but you I think asked they would me have to stop. You had a point you wanted to make.
We still do this, and fans still do the what gimmick.
Yeah.
When is a wrestling company going to when are they going to step up and train and condition these fans back and put them in their place? Because you have to do it. I mean, the WWE did it once. That was when The Undertaker said, say what if you sleep with your sister? And it never got done ever again because the family-friendly company was so scared of the backlash that they were going to get from that.
Well, and now they're doing instead of what. But Okay.
Yeah, it's at least modern. I'll take that.
You've been to some AEW shows before, right?
No.
Really? Have you never been?
Really? No, because they're on Wednesdays, and every time they've been in LA, I've had a cystoscopy.
But have you been to a pay-per-view?
No.
Oh.
Or no, okay. Have I? No, I haven't.
Okay, well, I've been to a few, and I have fond memories of some of those earlier shows where, you know, like something awesome would happen, and you get that chant. AEW. I haven't heard that in a while.
No.
You know what I heard in this match?
ECW?
ECW. Joe was putting over the fact that RVD is a credible world champion and he's going to destroy this pretender Swerve.
I will say this. Commentary was really good trying to make the hard sell that this was as great.
Yes. They were putting over RVD as a threat.
Yes.
Even though I was watching the match. RVD was sucking wind 3 minutes in.
Yes, he was.
But he was in control. So they go through a break. They come back from break. Swerve tossed RVD into a chair in the corner. They got some "This is awesome" chants. He went to toss RVD in the chair again, but he reversed and tossed Swerve in. Then RVD hits Rolling Thunder. We got some RVD chants. He hit a Van Damminator. Swerve powerbombed him onto a chair. This is where Brian Cage showed up. Hook immediately shows up afterwards with a chair, chasing him away. So now we're back to RVD and Swerve. He missed a Rolling Thunder, and Swerve hit his cutter for two, and then they're outside the ring, and RVD he's out of it.
Yes.
And Swerve hit him with a Swerve stomp. Looked like he nailed him right in the face with the knee. And then he also hit the back of his head on the ring steps. And then Taz even pointed this out, or Joe actually pointed out, said we need medical attention. Maybe he didn't hit him, but it just looked bad. So if it just looked bad and he didn't actually hit him, good on him. You know, that's good. Crowd was actually pretty quiet though. Joe said at this point he wanted Rob to expose these frauds for who they are. They get back in the ring. RVD threw a chair at Swerve, and this is where he took a bump through a ringside table. So he's on the top rope, and RVD is like, he's walking around like this. He's like, and he just kind of grabs a chair and he lightly tossed it towards Swerve. The chair kind of bounces off Swerve. Swerve does a pratfall bump into a table.
Yes, this is not your father's ECW where they were just throwing it at his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and so Swerve goes through the table. And then I wrote down, he is almost dead. And then I corrected myself, RVD, I mean. And then RVD put a chair on Swerve, and he hit him with what I call the 4-star frog splash. So it's a little bit up. It was a 3.5, one of the last times I saw him. But he missed the frog splash, and Swerve hit him with his own Van Damminator, but with a knee instead of the kick. RVD kicked out. Swerve goes to the top. RVD goes up with him, and then Swerve hits him with a face buster into the turnbuckle. And then RVD falls to the mat, and he goes back to the top, and he's going to go for the Swerve stomp. And I can't even describe this, but RVD is like half sitting, and he looks like he's struggling to stay up.
They've been doing this with this last Swerve stomp the past couple times, and it's driving me nuts because
the guy Swerve, puts up his fingers.
Swerve is milking it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just stomp on the guy. Instead, they have to have him get in that upright position where he's looking up groggy at Swerve as if, dude, no, admit defeat here. And it's just, it's not working for me, man. I'm sorry.
No, and RVD gives him the double fingers, which I don't even think he normally does, but he did it here. And then he gets nailed.
We're looking for a moment now instead of really just booking the match. Because to me, the finish should have been, and it was perfect, because remember all those years in ECW where Fonzie had the chair and would throw and RVD would throw it to him to hold, to kick somebody in the face with the chair, whatever, to knock him out. When Swerve did the kick to the chair, that should have been the pin.
Yeah, that should have been. And there's no reason it couldn't have been. They did a 5-minute overrun that they didn't need to do.
No.
So that was that. I didn't even give this one 3.5. I went three and a quarter. Yeah. So
in the neighborhood, it doesn't matter.
Hangman's music plays. He comes out. He's fine, even though he got his ass kicked earlier. He's got a mic. Swerve's got a mic too. And Hangman says, "Congratulations, you evil bastard. Later tonight, the rankings come up. And despite my efforts tonight, we are both unbeaten. I assume we're going to be at the top of the list." He was right. He said, "You said you needed the world championship. Look in my eyes. I will never let that happen, Swerve. I'm the next world champion, not you." And Swerve laughed at him. And he says, "You still just don't get it. You repeat yourself over and over again. I've beaten you twice. I got nothing to prove to you or to anyone else. You're upset with the simple fact that you can't beat me and you never will. And Hangman says, you keep saying that, but you didn't beat me. It took all the Mogul Embassy, man to man when it counts. You can't lace my boots. And then Swerve says, you must be a masochist. I'll give you what you want one more time. The third time after this, we're done. After I get past you, all I'm going for is the AEW World Championships. Immediately, there's a graphic on the screen. Tony Khan's booked this match for next week. And it's a number one contenders match. Winner gets Joe at Revolution. I've been saying this all along that they were going to have a number one contenders match and it wasn't going to be a three-way at the pay-per-view. Now, I suppose there could still be a three-way. We did this once before with MJF, I think, where he got involved and they ended up making it a three-way. I could see that happening. But yeah, Tuan agrees with you, by the way. Swerve took too long to deliver the stomp. It annoyed him as well.
There was something off about this delivery. It just didn't feel believable to me. It
by
really didn't.
Both of them or
mostly by Paige, but Swerve's just kind of like Swerve needs to kind of take those. They were rushing the segment because Swerve needs to take that in and go, you must be a man and think about it for a second, go, you must be a masochist. But it was kind of like they're just firing the lines off at each other to get there on time. And I think that threw it off as well.
They could have shaved 3 minutes off this match and given them.
But they never fit the story hole of why would Swerve give Adam Page a third match?
No, it's almost like Hangman pointed out, and I kind of forgot, you know, because all they've mentioned is Swerve beat him twice, but really he had help both times.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, kind of. Brian Cage interfered, but then they did like five more minutes.
He should have called him a coward for not being able to do it himself. And then, okay, the pride comes in and then you do it. Yeah. You know, that kind of a thing. It was one of those things where you need to sit down and go, okay, what is the motivation here?
Or Hangman puts something up. You know, Hangman puts up his career or something, you know, like.
Yes. You know, I am fed up with you. I want this done once and for all. If I beat you, you're no.
But then the problem is, okay, this is the thinking. If he puts up his career, everyone's going to know that Hangman's going to win.
No, you can always do the Cody thing.
Right.
If I beat you, you can never get what you really want.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. That type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're going to do the match. And I mean, if they have a finish, I assume Hangman wins, but it's possible that they could just, it could be a screw job and Joe gets involved and they make it a three-way. But if it was me, I'd have Hangman win. And you do Hangman Joe. The match is Hangman Swerve down the road. Swerve beats Hangman for the title.
I think it's dangerous though to have. I mean, there is a bit. I mean, and this look in competent hands, I'd be more trusting. And this isn't that Tony Khan's incompetent. It's just that, all right, you beat Swerve. How do you now justify Swerve coming back unless it's like, oh, it's 2-1 or like.
No, but they said this is it.
Yeah, and they said this is it. So how do you get Swerve back in that picture then?
Well, he earns a title shot down the road. That's why you got the rankings.
But he just said this is it.
Oh, well, yeah. Or you know, or maybe Hangman loses the belt and then Swerve takes it from whoever Hangman loses it to.
I think you have Hangman lose again, then you do a character switch of some kind. But that's
that could be. You could do that, yeah. But yeah, so that was that. Oh, then they're next week, and then next week, Bill and Starks against Sting and Darby. We've got a trios match,
CMLL
against BCC. It is total supercard. Swerve and Hangman, Jericho and Takeshita, and Tony has a huge announcement.
Yeah, and that'll probably be the Boston show. I think you're right on that. And then after the show, everybody will go on, AEW is back.
Oh yeah, and you know what? I mean, if everything goes well,
it'll probably be a very good show. I'm just saying. I hate dealing with the fickle fans of criticism.
I think I'm watching too much AEW. I really do.
That's a possibility. You should stop watching Rampage because you don't need to, or just watch Dynamite like I do because I still enjoy watching just Dynamite.
Yeah.
As much as I love FTR, it's just you can't get me to go watch an Escape the Cage Rules match.
And I think these like 2 hour and 30 minute 15 match ROH is like Chinese water torture. I think I'm just
make wrestling shows an hour again, please.
Oh my god. Like and then again, you know, with the gaslighting, I'm told, oh man, Tony Khan, ROH Booker of the Year. AEW might not be great, but man, he's doing such great things with
y'all. Are insane.
There is okay. This 2.5 hour show I watched last week, that was like three good 45 minute wrestling shows, but it was all together. It's too much.
It is, but how do you even...
How did I watch it all?
No. I'm thinking about this Tony Khan Booker of the Year thing.
Oh, yeah.
How do you not give it to the guy over in the other company for the most part? Because, it's a contrarian thing. And you also go with, their worst was much worse than...
I voted for Sean, actually. So,
all right. I'll take that.
I voted for Tony for Promoter of the Year because...
Yes. He's a promoter better than a booker. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Actually, no. You know who I voted for was... Maynard and
Rossi?
No. Shelby, the UFC bookers.
Is Shelby still a booker in UFC?
Yeah, him and McMaynard.
I thought he left. I took his
No, it's the guy that left was Joe Silva.
Oh, Joe Silva, thank you.
Yeah, okay, Heat Index. Hangman, Swerve, Takeshita, Daniel Garcia and Tony Storm. I don't know.
Tony Storm.
Yeah, she got heat. Not good heat.
She got heat with me. No, she doesn't. I don't
know. Tony Khan in his announcement, he's going to be top of the Heat Index next week a bit. No, you know what? Moxley should be on there. Moxley's been having some good matches.
I will ponder this thing knowing that it's going to get me a lot of crap.
Uh-oh.
So if we have a working deal with CMLL, you know, there's a certain female talent there in CMLL who wants to start going full time, who has burned a bridge with every single other wrestling promotion in the States.
Oh, yeah. Tully's kid.
Yes. Dare they do a match with her at some point, but I don't know. Maybe Swerve can break into Hangman's house.
I love that.
Actually, I want the opposite. I want Hangman to break into Swerve's house. And that's why Swerve now gives him the third match. There we go. That's what he should have done.
What's he going to threaten? His
He's going to break his recording equipment.
Yeah.
Good. Now you can't be a rapper. Okay.
Maybe he's going to... No, I almost said something there that would have got me in so much trouble, and I'm glad I stopped myself.
He kills Hit Row Records.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
Maybe he finds B-Fab. It was a show. No, it was, you know what? I mean, they set up a really good show for next week. I will say that. And the matches were good for the most part. But very much the same.
They were fine, but it was just one of those things where I'm now a little disturbed by the numbers that they were getting. I mean, they mic'd the crowd pretty well, although that crowd checked out for
crowd
that
was Jericho. Hot. I mean,
no, they checked out for that Jericho match for a while because they wanted to scream at Callis about his socks.
They lost interest in Wardlow and Commander and the women's match.
They were there to see stars.
Yeah. Yeah, and they loved RVD. Holy crap,
yes.
They loved RVD. Yeah. And you know what? RVD looked good. I mean, physically.
How did they give them a Starks match in friggin' New Orleans? But okay, because that was the place he was the most over other than Austin.
I think he's wrestled once this year, Ricky. Like, I don't get it. And I'm seeing like Queen Aminata and a bunch of
Commander every single damn show.
Oh my god, don't get me Commander. We haven't seen Black Commander in a while.
But, Mookie almost blocked me because I said, I hope Commander goes to Commander's Palace while he's in New Orleans.
All right, let's get our plugs in.
I'm at Crap Game 13 on Twitter, usually snarking about wrestling or 90s action movies as I did this week or something like that. Yes, and also Jason booed me on that joke as well on Twitter. I do a show called Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. This week, myself and Chris Novembrino doing all the fallout of both the Vince case. He officially quit during SmackDown, which was after we taped, so we'll be talking about that. Also, any ice cold takes we have about the Royal Rumble, Aunt Pam, Forever, Rock, and any other news that may break within the next week.
I have the In the Clinch MMA podcast on this very free feed on the Fight Game Media Network. I also did a show, sat in for David Lovell on his Facebook Land show, so you can find that on my Facebook. Yeah, me and Sebastian played some classic, mostly Canadian music from the 90s and 2000, or first decade in the 2000s from Big Shiny Tunes, which is like our version of the Now CD. So it was a lot of fun. And we talked about Canadian music.
Colin James, I think his name is.
No. Though, like Age of Electric and Finger 11 and, you know, that sort of stuff.
Sass like, Jordan.
No. We're talking Bush. Okay. You know, like, yeah. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah. So
they're not chemical. Canadian.
No, but they're on these Canadian compilations.
Oh, okay, never mind, yes.
Yeah, it's stuff that was popular on Much Music, basically.
Got it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Big Shiny Tunes. It was a very popular anthology kind of CDs. Anyways, so we did that, and you can find that. It's free on my Facebook. And, I guess there'll be some sort of NXT review show coming up. Jason's played video games with Finger 11. Hey, Jason, you know what they used to be called before they were Finger 11? We pointed this out on this Canadian music show. They used to be called the Rainbow Butt Monkeys, believe it or not. So I'll leave you with that, and stay tuned for the NXT review show with me and nobody else. So for Jeff Hawkins
solo,
I've been Paul Fontaine, and this has been the Dynamite Show.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.